Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
304, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Eric Trump is going to be with us 1 hour from now. David Friedman, former ambassador to Israel, is going to be with us at 4:35. Looking forward to having both of those gentlemen join us. Where would you like to start? Oh, let's start with Susanna Gibson. Cry me a flippin' river, would you? Oh, and by the way, if you are going to cry me a river, can you do it on camera? And how much is that going to cost? The nerve of this woman to stand up and talk about the things she has been through. Oh, my God. Lady, you were the one doing porno online. Wasn't me. Now, I don't know how much you made, but I can guarantee you made more than I would make. Nobody wants to see me. Barely a couple of people wanted to see you and your husband. Is he still your husband? I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't know, but now I have to think about these things. That's your fault, not mine. I didn't ask you to perform sex acts for tokens in front of people on camera. I didn't ask you for that. I'm still sitting here thinking, man, I can't unsee some of the things that I saw. But you're outraged. You want better protection. You know what? If you want better protection, I have a suggestion for you. Turn off your freaking video camera. That'll give you better protection. Don't go asking people for tokens and request to perform specific sexual acts on camera. That'll protect you. You won't ever have to worry about this. You know, the vast majority of us never worry about this. You know why? Because we don't do that. Because we don't engage in the behavior you engaged in. You chose to do that. Now, there's still all sorts of questions out there about that. You know, Mike Dickinson is the only guy that I have found that's actually been covering that story. And I mean the other parts of the story. Oh, I know. Mike watched every single second of the videos that were available. No doubt about that. But I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about the legal implications. Remember, there was all sorts of questions about signatures on campaign things. And was she performing these sexual acts on camera to raise money for the campaign? Is that appropriate? Is it legal? Who knows? But you and I have to ask these questions because she chose to do that. What she ought to do is hang her flipping head in shame.
Well, I nobody should have been looking.
Well, you shouldn't have been on camera. It is legitimately, easily that simple. So simple, in fact, even I'm not confused by it. I mean, let me tell you, if I understand it right away, it's got to be easy and straightforward. And what is Carrie Coyner thinking? Why would she co-patron this bill? Now, I understand there are people who, I don't know, people make videos for themselves, I suppose. And then I don't know what you do with them, but okay. But that's not what this was. It's not even close to what this was. Maybe Carrie Coyner doesn't understand that. I don't know. Maybe she's looking at the upside, if you will, which is let's protect everybody's privacy. I'm on board with that. I think every one of us who's a decent person is on board with that. But sort of aiding and abetting somebody who's taking to one of these sites, knowing full well that it's on display for anybody and everybody who wants to see, and then, let's not forget this part, requesting tokens, and tokens have to be purchased, which to me means that it's some sort of a financial situation. Remember when it first broke, there were people asking, could it be considered prostitution? Not that her husband was forcing her to do that, or she was forcing her husband to do that, but there was a question raised that said, if she is accepting some sort of compensation to perform a specific sex act, apparently, that was the question. I think one of the questions was, would it have to be with that person? In other words, would her husband have had to say, or whoever was in the picture, hey, here's 20 tokens, let's do such and such. Now that, I guess, would be clearer. This, I don't know, because you're talking about people who are not involved in the actual physical situation. But anyway, you slice it, it's on her. Period. End of story. All right. Now, let me jump down off my soapbox for a second. Let me remind you about the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. It was wonderful to be out at Liberty University for a couple of days. I'm going to tell you that. As a result of that, Jeremy doesn't know this yet, but Jeremy, I got a whole bunch of stuff I have to give to you. One of the things is actually a gift for you. No, I did. I brought you a gift. This will be nice. You're always nice. But I got a gift for him. But more importantly, I got some important information to pass along to Germ. And it was really interesting to see all of the political signs. I didn't know that there was a whole chunk of Powhatan that seems to be nothing but Democrats. Because there were all these Harris, who's the goofball who's running with her? Walls, right? I'm sorry. Honest to goodness, I swear to you, I forgot his name. I really did. But yeah, Harris Walls signs that were up. And I don't know if they were, well, I don't know what they were. But there was like this whole little chunk that I had to drive through out in Powhatan where they had all of those signs. It was crazy. Now, last night, our Not Ready for Primetime Vice President was actually on primetime, but it was pre-recorded. Of course it was pre-recorded. I mean, you know, if you pre-record things and you go back, you fix things in post-production. I know how this works. So she was on with this Stephanie Ruhle from MSNBC. Last week, Stephanie Ruhle announced that she was voting for Kamala Harris. Gosh, this is going to be a hard-hitting interview, don't you think? Even with this, where you are essentially sitting down with like a teddy bear, a lovable, supportive, warm sort of a creature, a person in this case, who wants you to win. Even with that, she couldn't get stuff out. So we have a lot from that. And I did promise, I promised Jeremy, we're getting all of it, man. Let's do cut number one, please.
Madam Vice President, you just laid out your economic vision for the future.
Yeah.
But still, there are lots of Americans who don't see themselves in your plans. For those who say these policies aren't for me, what do you say to them?
Well, if you are hardworking, if you have the dreams and the ambitions and the aspirations of what I believe you do, you're in my plan. You know, I have to tell you, I really love and am so energized by what I know to be the spirit and character of the American people. We have ambition. We have aspirations. We have dreams. We can see what's possible. We have an incredible work ethic. But not everyone has the access to the opportunities that allow them to achieve those things. But we don't lack for those things. But not everyone, you know, gets handed stuff on a silver platter. And so my vision for the economy, I call it an opportunity economy, is about making sure that all Americans, wherever they start, wherever they are, have the ability to actually achieve those dreams and those ambitions, which include from middle class families, just being able to know that their hard work allows them to get ahead, right? I think we can't and we shouldn't aspire to have an economy that just allows people to get by. People want to do more than just get by. They want to get ahead. And I come from the middle class. Look, my mother raised my sister and me. She worked hard. She saved up. By the time I was a teenager, she was able to buy our first home. And, you know, home ownership for too many people in our country now is elusive. You know, gone is the day of everyone thinking they could actually live the American dream. So part of my vision for the economy is let's deal with some of the everyday challenges
Pardon me. You know why the people feel they can't live the American dream? Because of you. Because of you. And the other guy. Now, the other guy has said that you actually were making all of the decisions. Yo, what a talk about a backhanded endorsement. Joe Biden, remember him, the presidential meat puppet? He said he delegated everything to Kamala Harris. So the last 4 years of disaster, it's all on her. So when she sits there and she's just sort of blah, 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 she's like the teacher from the Peanuts, for God's sakes. Nothing makes any sense. And then she tells me, well, people don't believe they can live the American dream. No kidding, Sherlock, and it's because of you.
Good grief.
Good grief is right. Wow. Unflippin' believable. All right, cross that one off the list, Jeremy. I told you we're going to get to all of them. Poor Jeremy sweating. But man, well, I'm not loading them all in. You got to understand how difficult it is to do all this stuff. I give a big pile, but I did get you a gift. 804 on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line says, hey, wait a minute, Jeff, is she from a middle-class family? Did her middle-class family love their lawn? Hell yeah. She likes to say how she came from Oakland.
Well, I'm a daughter of Oakland.
No, you're not. No, you're not. In fact, the two homes you lived in Berkeley, near the college, are not actually all that close to Oakland. So you're full of crap, is what you are. And then your middle-class mom, who was a highly paid professional, by the way, moved you and your sister to Montreal, to a luxury section of Montreal, and then you attended private school. So please, don't preach to me about being middle-class. You're full of crapola, is what you're full of. 804, Jeff, why did you watch those videos? With the porn star. 804, take my word, I did not watch all of them. Mike Dickinson, I'm pretty sure, watched every single set. I watched enough to think, oh, good Lord, please stop. And I did. But because at first, honestly, I thought it was a joke. I thought there was slander. I thought there was something out there. And especially when she was saying, oh, these were stolen from us and shared without our knowledge. I watched enough for her to make very clear she knew she was on camera and anybody and everybody could be part of it. 804, Jeff, will Howard Gutman have the morning show or the afternoon show when George Soros has finished purchasing the radio station? That's a good question. I don't know. Anyway, let me remind you that the Chronic Care of Richmond text line is always available to you. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Eric Trump is going to be with us at 4:05. We got my buddy Brian Maloney coming up at the bottom of the hour, 3:35. I'm curious to know what he made of the, it was supposed to be a love fest last night, but even that Stephanie Ruhle was puzzled by the gigantic bowls of word salad coming from our not ready for primetime vice president. 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WR. RBA. 321, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Don't stand so close unless you're going to give me tokens. And if you're going to give me tokens, man, stand back because you're going to get yourself one heck of a show, please. 4:05 this afternoon, Eric Trump is going to be with us. I just did a big discussion with one of the big national news outlets, and they were asking me, hey, what about this new poll? There's some new poll out. I don't even know which one it is. It was either in Politico or The Hill or one of those publications that says, what's her name? Mr. God, I forgot her name. Kamala Harris, yeah, is up by 9 points over Donald Trump. And I said, well, I don't know. I mean, look, I don't do polling, but I can tell you this. I can tell you that the University of Mary Washington poll that came out last week showed it as basically a tie, right? She was leading by 2 points, but that was well within the margin of error. Other polls are indicating pretty much the same thing. But I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend that I know. But the very fact that both the Harris campaign and the Trump campaign have some pretty high-level surrogates coming through Virginia says to me that we're in play. The polling numbers I'm hearing from friends who are, well, in all candor, on both sides of the aisle, inside things, say, hey, it's pretty close. The one thing that is concerning to the Harris campaign, apparently it's very concerning, is that Tiny Tim Kaine, that malevolent little Senate garden gnome dude, he apparently has opened up a 10-point lead over Hung Cao, and Kamala Harris is not anywhere near that. That's something to be concerned about. So this afternoon, we've got Eric Trump, her husband. What is his title, Jerm? Was like the second dude or something, or fill-in guy number two? Whoever he is, Mr. Emhoff is apparently coming to Virginia to speak on her behalf as well. Whether he will speak as clearly and as passionately as she does, well, I mean, really, who can? But that says to me that it's all in play. Now, this Stephanie Ruhle, believe it or not, she's not a journalist. She's not a reporter. She's not somebody who's really doing any of those things. She was there as a propaganda prop. It should have been the easiest of easy situations, and even that Kamala Harris screwed up. But even Stephanie Ruhle from MSNBC had to push back. And yes, I watched it. I did. Sorry, but I did. I watched it so that you didn't have to. No, it's okay. But cut number two, please.
Over the last 4 years, there have been tremendous economic wins, and you've just laid out a big plan. But still, polling shows that most likely voters still think Donald Trump is better to handle the economy. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, why is that? I mean, really, inquiring minds want to know. Why is that? Why do people listen to you and go, oh, good Lord, I have no confidence that she can fix anything? Why do you think that is? Is it because you bring your vast experience from McDonald's? Cut number six.
Then I want to just ask you about a little job and a big job.
Okay.
The first one, just a fact check. Okay. Because your opponent
there is
almost
no
every
little job.
Day.
Okay. There's no such thing as a little job.
Okay, fair. Because your opponent almost every day seems to be talking about this. So I just want to ask you.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Yes or no. At any point in your life, have you served two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, onions,
let's go.
Yes or no, that's it.
I have.
Okay.
No, you haven't. Oh, God, even that, you have to lie about why. Oh, please, why do you have to it's painful. It hurts. The hell did she say? Are you or are you not running for president? Well, so I was raised in a middle class family, and we had windows, and we loved ice cream and puppies. In fact, we loved puppy flavored ice cream, and ice cream flavored puppies. Nothing that this woman says makes any sense. Joy. Oh, we have joy. I don't have any joy. Was it like a happy, happy, joy thing? I don't think so. I'm not voting for Ren and Stimpy for president. I'm not voting for her for president. I'm sorry. It just stinks to high heaven, period. End of story. 326, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve, and I am telling you right now, the giant bowls of word salad that were dispensed last night, it was like a freaking Pez dispenser spitting out tired joy, joy, hopes, ambitions, and middle-class family joy. I don't even know what to say, which is why Brian Maloney is here and why Eric Trump will be with us at 4:05, because I am truly at a loss for words. I watched this and I am dumber for having watched it. I killed useful brain cells that I could have used for anything important, like, I don't know, navel gazing or clipping my toenails or reminding myself that noses are not snack dispensers. Something useful. I watched, I thought, oh, good God, this is, I would be embarrassed for her if she had any personal embarrassment or shame, but I don't think she does. Brian Maloney, who is an astute observer of political campaigns and organizing things, and actually, as I've mentioned many times, truly one of the best talk show hosts we've ever had in these here United States of America. But he joins us right after the election every Friday Eve to talk about this stuff. Brian, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, I'd be interested to see what Eric Trump has to say about things, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's good. He's no Brian Maloney, but I think he's good.
Well, you be sure to tell him that.
I will. I will work that into conversation.
Oh, no, 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 no. No.
All right, now, you got to be, okay, pony up here, dude. Did you watch this, and do you not feel just a little less like a human having watched it?
Well, I don't torture myself through the whole thing. I saw clips here and there, but, I mean, it's just the same thing. You know, and we're not seeing a lot of campaigning from her otherwise. Have you noticed? I mean, she's not out there.
That's the thing. Now, here's the weird thing is that she's appearing at, quote, rallies. She did something at Carnegie Mellon, which had 300 people. It wasn't open to the students. I mean, if you're going to do something on a university campus, wouldn't you be there to get the students to vote for you?
Well, and also, wouldn't you expect the students to be a favorable audience? So
yes.
If you can't get that, if you can't trust college students to support your candidacy, you're in real trouble. And it just shows how stage managed every moment is for her. There is never an unscripted moment. There is never a chance for an offhanded question to be asked or anything that might cause discomfort. And even when it's Oprah asking her softball questions, she's still scared.
What do you think this is? Now, let's just pull the curtain back a little bit, because you and I, throughout the years, we have dealt with candidates. Some of them were the best candidates that you would ever want to have running for office, but boy, a camera light went on or a microphone was in front of them, and they just couldn't do it. But off stage, you know, policy-wise, writing policy, they were really good. Then you have other people, I think, who are great on camera. There's nothing going around in their head, but they're great on camera. I don't get that she's either one of those things, though. I just don't think there's anything there.
Well, and you know, think back to 2016 and Hillary. I mean, Hillary is not someone where you had to worry about any of this. She could handle herself just fine.
Yep.
You might have disagreed with everything that she did and said, which, you know, I was one of them that disagreed.
Yeah.
But the bottom line was she knew how to get through the campaign. In fact, I mean, she could write a book on how to, or she did write about 27 books, or, you know, had ghostwriters doing whatever the story is there. But the bottom line is you didn't have to worry about those kinds of things, which is why everyone expected her to win.
Right.
And, you know, she had the machine and the system behind her. But in this case, I don't think she was the machine's first choice. But they've been, you know, doing the best they can with her. But I think she's totally in over her head and fizzling out. And you've just seen what seemed like a strong start for the first few weeks has really, I think, disintegrated. So when I see polls still showing her doing as well as she is, I really get suspicious, although the polls are kind of all around the place, and I've been digging into them. And there's some really interesting numbers out there.
All right. So give me an example. I know here, just for a little point of reference, we had the University of Mary Washington last week come
it's like
a 2-point race, and then today we've got one that says she's 9 points ahead. I think, and you tell me, because you're better at these numbers, but it seems to me that there are some real races going on in these battleground states.
Well, and I think they are, and I think that Virginia needs to be included in the battleground states and not thought of in the way that the media would portray it as a solid blue state. I think that I think races in Virginia are up for grabs, including the Senate race, where there is an absolutely excellent Republican candidate who needs a lot more attention, deserves a lot more attention.
I agree. Yeah. Now, what are you seeing as an example? Pennsylvania, that seems to be neck and neck. Wisconsin, Michigan, these should be slam dunks for Kamala Harris.
Well, so this is where it gets funny. It really depends on the pollster, but not in the way that you think, because the New York Times CNN poll that came out just days ago show Trump in a really good position in those swing states. And yes, I did say New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get polls from Fox that are the other way, because apparently Paul Ryan doesn't like, you know, polls that favor Trump.
Yeah.
So, the liberal polls come from Fox. The probably more accurate polls are coming from the New York Times. So those are the bizarre times that we're living in today.
Wow. And you know what was interesting? And I want to remind everybody, Brian Maloney is joining us. Brian joins us every Friday. He's going to do that right up through the election. The New York Times trashed her appearance with this Stephanie Ruhle on MSNBC. And I'm just thinking, Brian, that the New York Times, which I usually look at as the Democrat Party's family newsletter, when you've lost the New York Times, I mean, things can't be going well.
Well, what could be happening is that it's an I told you so from people who didn't want her as a candidate in the first place. And if they see polling that shows her in a bad position, it could be people in the media, mm-hmm. in the party, preemptively saying, hey, I was on the correct side of this. You people, your faction wasn't. I think that has a lot. And a lot of this is also, you know, the factionalized nature of the White House today, because you know, right now we've got Jill Biden running cabinet meetings, you know, right. I mean, you know, so now the masks are off. They're not even pretending that he was ever president anymore. She was clearly running a lot of the show and had That's been for right. a long time.
Yep.
And Kamala was a spite pick by the Bidens to stick it to Nancy Pelosi, who forced him out of the race. Remember, he got all the primary votes and you know, Harris didn't get one.
That's
so
right.
I think there's a lot of internal stuff going on here. And if, you know, Trump pulls this off, which I think he's got a heck of a shot, although we got to, you know, get off our butts and get to work here.
Yep.
There's going to be not just finger pointing, but I think there's going to be nuclear war between the factions of that Democrat Party over, you know, why, over who was chosen and who wasn't and why. And
yep.
It's ugly. It's ugly. And I think, I mean, Joe didn't put on, he's the senile as he is, he didn't put on that Trump hat by accident. He
That's
didn't.
Right.
That was
right.
a signal. That was a signal that was being sent that it was a middle finger
yep.
to his party. He, you know, you could be pretty senile and still not put on the Trump hat if you're Joe Biden.
Oh, hey.
You would still know that much.
Brian, you remember he asked the guy for the hat.
Yeah.
It wasn't the other way around. And I'm sure you noticed there was an image that was captured of him carrying a red baseball cap up the steps of Air Force One. Now, I don't know what was on the front of it, but that was there. And just yesterday, the biggest backhanded endorsement, I think, when Joe Biden said, hey, I delegated everything to her. So...
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's a feeling of ungratefulness there. And I think so there's a lot going on here. I mean, if he wakes up tomorrow and turns around endorsing Trump, it wouldn't surprise me at this point. I mean, there's just weird. This has been a weird year. We knew it would be weird. It's a lot weirder than we thought. But the Democrats going after the Democrat mayor of New York City is a huge issue nationwide. It's not a New York City issue. This is what people are failing, or some people are failing to understand. And it ties into everything because the Democrats would never, ever indict the sitting Democrat mayor of the largest American city a month before the election. They would never, ever do that unless they were trying to send a message to their own side, which is, you know, you step out of line on
That's
a few
right.
things. We've been keeping score along the way. We're going to nail you for
That's
a
right.
bunch of stuff that all the previous mayors got away with and more.
Absolutely. Hey, let me ask you this as the out question, Brian. Senate and House, a lot of buzz that Republicans take the Senate. Are you hearing that? And what are you hearing about the House?
Well, so, I mean, it really depends on what we can do in terms of the Senate. I think we've got Montana in the bag. So I think John Tester is out, which is brilliant.
Yep.
But we have to win. I've been mentioning Ohio. I've been, you know, Pennsylvania. But I think, you know, the outside, if we really have a good night, it's Virginia that would seal the deal. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
this
is not, and you know, I hope that your listeners are paying a lot of attention to the home races, like, because it can be done. Things can happen in Virginia. And
yeah,
if there's one point I would want as a takeaway from this, other Senate races out there, I mean, Arizona, I don't think, you know, it doesn't look that great for us right now. It's a little out of the range. You know, other ones, I don't know if we're going to grab, but I mean, you know, we've got some there that we can, you know, I mean, yeah. You know, if it's really a 5-6 point race in Virginia in that Senate, in that Senate seat, it can be won. It can be won.
I agree. Well, listen, I'm over time as always because you're great. So do me a favor. Remind everybody where they can follow you on social media, please.
You bet. So it is facebook.com/ media equalizer, one word, facebook.com/media equalizer. That's the best place, and when you go there, I'll tell you where else to find me.
All right. Listen, you are the best. You are the media equalizer. I am always grateful for you making some time for us. My friend, Brian Maloney, it is 346, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 351, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. We got rain, and we're going to have rain for the next couple of days. Some of it's going to be like a whip-snap sort of a thing from Helene. Now, Helene is really hitting the Big Bend area in Florida. Big Bend, well, it's where the state of Florida bends, basically. You know, at the top of it, you kind of got Pensacola over there in Floribama, and then you come east, and you're getting towards Tallahassee and the Gainesville and all of that stuff, and then it kind of, you know, it turns, right? And you got Tampa. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I love Tampa. But anyway, so that's where it is right now, and I got a buddy of mine who was shooting some video. He had to drive to work. And when you're in Tampa, man, there are a million causeways and bridges and stuff, and there's a lot of water. And this water was right to the edge of the bridge. I mean, and nothing had really started yet. So just if you got friends or family down there, reach out to them. And it's probably at this point too late for people to move. That's what Governor Ron DeSantis was saying earlier. So you got to think about him and pray for him. Eric Trump is going to be with us just about 10 minutes from now. We'll talk about how the campaign is going for his father. I'm curious to know if Eric Trump subjected himself to the Kamala Harris show last night. God, it was terrible. Absolutely terrible. Taking a look at the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 804 says, Jeff, Vice President Harris, useful idiot. This is what the communists want. Yeah, well, can't argue with that. 804, Jeff, is State Delegate Carrie Coyner getting tokens for her support of Susanna Gibson? I hope not. Let's see, 804, that's MB in Henrico. Jeff, I do not believe there is a less qualified presidential candidate than Kamala Harris. She has no answers, no plan, no vision going forward. This is a DEI hire, and it will prove to be the death of the Constitutional Republic if she wins the White House. I am beyond puzzled why half of the American public refuses to see the forest through the trees. We will deserve what we get if she is elected. Yeah, well, it's terrible. 804 says, Jeff, who does Sam Elliott think watches his dumb movies? It ain't soy boys and beta males. Yeah, I guess Sam Elliott came out, what, did a full commercial for Kamala Harris? I just wish actors would act and singers would sing and sports people would, you know, date Taylor Swift. That's all I'm asking for. I don't need to know about your political agenda. I don't want to know about your political agenda. I don't want any of that nonsense. I just don't. I don't care. But then when you expose me to it, then I have to think, ugh, maybe I shouldn't even bother watching whatever it is that you're in. 804, Jeff, she's just so phony. No, I agree. You're right. You're right. 804, Jeff, Charles Pyle is so much better. Absolutely correct. Again, I said it last week. I'll say it this week. And God willing, I'll say it again next week. But I think Charles is doing a great job. We're happy to have him on the team. Anyway, so it says Charles Pyle is so much better. He and Gary need to teach the young buck reporters how to do a non-biased news report. We don't have any young buck reporters. Right. We have one reporter, Sarah Huffman, who, by the way, does a great job. I look forward to every report that she does. I really do. I think she sounds great on the air. I think she is a solid reporter doing what it is that reporters are supposed to do. I think Charles Pyle is doing a great job anchoring the whole thing for us. I'm very happy with that. I really am. So I would agree with you that Charles and Gary can teach a lot of people how to do a lot of things, but it's not like we have 20, quote, young buck reporters. Nobody has newsrooms anymore. Just the way it is, whether that's good or bad, I don't know, but it is what it is. But we're fortunate. We've got two solid people, and from the looks of it, the sounds of it, the feel of it, that should be enough. So I think that's good. Eric Trump is going to be with us at 4:05. Do me a favor. Go over and sign up and follow me on X, Jeff Katz Show on X. Please follow Jeff Katz Show on X. Just trying to get to another little mark here so that we can do a little bit more with that. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., my buddy John Reed is going to be here coming off a very successful event with G. Von Fleet. He's got Kevin Sorbo coming to town, which is cool. 356, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.